Welcome to Monty's Rockcast, the best podcast in the history of mankind. And now, here to crush your skulls, Monty Calvin.
Hey, 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 and ho, ho, ho. Welcome to the Rockcast.
This is unbelievably stupid.
I am your host, Monty Calvin. Thanks so much for joining me. Once again, it's the holiday season, and oh, I just love this time of year.
Yeah?
Wait a minute. Did I say love this time of year? I meant to say I hate this time of year.
Hey, there you go.
I live in Missouri, so the weather is always horrible. We get snow and freezing ice. The stores are just packed with people running around trying to buy presents. You can't find a parking spot. And you've got to spend a bunch of money on crap that nobody wants.
It's awful.
However, if you're a parent, it's all about your kids anyway. There's just nothing like getting up on Christmas morning and seeing their faces light up when they see those gifts underneath the tree that you worked so hard to get for them and then had to tell them that Santa brought those to them. Yeah, well, screw that. Santa didn't do jack squat, kids. Your mother and I bought those for you, and just remember that 2 days from now when all those toys are either broken or you're bored of them.
This is a very bad attitude.
So, yeah, the best part of the holiday season for me is when it's over. And by the time I get through recording this episode, it probably will be. Regardless, sit back, enjoy the show, and prepare yourself for a season's beating.
It's gonna be brutal.
Ah, there's nothing like Jeff Sheets Christmas music, and you can still buy that at jeffsheets.com. Jeff is an unbelievable guitarist that lives here in Kansas City, and I played on that song, Sleigh Ride, and it turned out great. However, all Christmas music, as you know, is not great. For instance, I found this album a couple years ago called We Wish You a Metal Christmas and a Headbanging New Year. It had people on it like Lemmy, Dave Grohl, and Alice Cooper.
That sounds great!
And then it had some classically bad stuff by people like Jeff Tate from Queensryche. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks. You know, I've recorded some things over the years that I'm not really proud of now. And I can't imagine that even Jeff Tate hears that and says, yeah, that was really good. But if that wasn't bad enough for you, here's one with Stephen Piercy of Rat on vocals. Oh, yeah. Grandma got ran over by a reindeer. Walking home from my house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe she been drinking too much eggnog. Yeah, that was not good. But don't be too hard on Steven Piercy, because I've heard some live audio from their last tour that was so bad that it made that sound great.
Absolutely horrible.
But seriously, what would a metal Christmas album be without Ronnie James Dio?
Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ the Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh,
Yeah, I don't want to be blasphemous about the late, great Ronnie James Dio, but that there kind of made me laugh.
Absolutely hysterical.
But not to be outdone, check out the hilarious results that Scott Ian and Chuck Billy from Testament got when they took on Silent Night. Oh, yeah. This is a comedy record, right?
I think so.
They weren't really serious, correct?
Well, maybe.
Oh, well, regardless, I am now fully in the holiday spirit, and I say bring on the eggnog. Got a question here from Gary in Baltimore, and Gary says, "Hey, Monty, how's it going?"
What a great question.
Well, thanks for asking, Gary. Actually, I've been really busy here lately.
Yeah, right.
Of course, with the holidays, there's always so much to do. But I also got hired by the School of Rock here in Kansas City to do a bunch of murals for them.
Are you serious?
Yeah, if you've seen that movie, The School of Rock with Jack Black, well, they actually have those. And they're basically places where kids can go to learn how to play rock music. And they've got a couple here in Kansas City, and one day I got a call from the manager, and he said, hey, could you do some murals for us of some album covers, rock stars, logos, all that kind of stuff? And I'm like, yeah, I could. That is right up my alley. And so they hired me, and I've been doing about 11 rooms in there where I'm doing logos and all that kind of stuff, and it's just a blast. I love it. It's like a dream job. And so I've been really busy with that, and of course all the holiday stuff. I've been spending time with my daughter Zoe. And oh yeah, I've also been watching some TV.
No!
Yeah, I know, it's hard to believe, but I like to make time for the important stuff. And recently I found time in my schedule to watch the new DVD by Aerosmith, Rock for the Rising Sun. It's live concert footage from a tour they did in Japan in 2012. And I was expecting it to be all the stuff I hate from Aerosmith, like Janie's Got a Gun and Ragdoll and all that crap. But no, it was mostly older stuff, and you got a lot of guitar jams from Joe Perry. And for the most part, they sounded pretty good. Aerosmith is definitely one of the greatest American rock bands of all time, and it was cool to see them come out and steer away from all the ballads and that stuff and just rock. All that said, I wasn't blown away by this DVD, but if you're into Aerosmith at all, it's worth checking out.
I want to see it!
Like usual, I've also been watching a lot of sports. And back on Thanksgiving Day, I'm sitting there watching the Raiders and the Cowboys, and at halftime, who comes on to perform but Selena Gomez?
Yeah!
Well, I remember back when she used to be on the Disney Channel, but these days, she has grown up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she comes out there wearing next to nothing.
Yeah.
Dancing around in these little red shorts, and I can clearly see her butt cheeks hanging out.
Well, you have my attention now.
Well, I got my wife on one side of me and my father-in-law on the other. And, well, let me just tell you, I was thoroughly disgusted.
Sitting back and watching this is almost breathtaking.
I do not for 1 minute approve of that kind of vulgarity. Especially on Thanksgiving when I'm trying to finish my turkey dinner.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, what else? Oh yeah, I finally saw that movie The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke, and I thought he did an amazing job, even though he probably took steroids and did cocaine in preparation for the role. Regardless, I thought it was really good, and you get to see Marissa Tomei naked.
Wow! Nice!
I'll tell you what isn't good, though.
What?
American Network situation comedies.
Oh, God!
Like, have you seen this new show on Fox called Dads? How do you take Seth Green and Martin Mull and not get one laugh out of me?
Something's wrong with you.
And you can just take the entire CBS lineup and flush it. They should change the name of How I Met Your Mother to How in the Hell Did This Piece of Crap Get on TV?
Isn't the name terrific?
But I know I'm not the only one who watches TV. I know some of you guys out there do too. Then the other day I got an email from Rodney in Memphis, and he said, "Hey Monty, did you watch the American Music Awards?" Well, as a matter of fact, I did, Rodney. I DVR'd it so I could fast forward through it if it got too much to bear. After all, it is the most hideous thing on TV of the year, and this year was no exception. So here now is my recap of the American Music Award highlights, or should I say lowlights.
Please don't do it.
Now, of course, all these award shows start out with an opening performance from the biggest name in the business. In the past, it's been people like Bruce Springsteen or Madonna. But these days, we get Katy Perry.
Wow.
And I was expecting some controversy or possibly a wardrobe malfunction, but no such luck. Katy came out dressed like a geisha girl, and it was a real big production, but very boring.
That's right there with watching soccer.
Now, because this is the American Music Awards, it was no surprise to me that they chose Cuban rapper Pitbull to host. However, since Pitbull is always on these shows, I guess they figured, well, he's going to be here anyway. What the hell? Let him host.
Sure, why not?
Now, the first award of the night was for Best Pop Male, and that went to Justin Timberlake. And if you've ever seen an American Music Awards, you know they're these crystal pyramids that come up to a really razor-sharp point. And every year I think, oh my God, somebody's going to fall on one of those and just impale themselves. Or possibly spin around and poke somebody's eye out. After that, we got a performance by New Kids on NSYNC, Backstreet Boy... One Direction.
A bunch of pathetic wusses.
They're just the latest in the long line of boy bands. And they're no better than anybody out there, but they've been packaged, processed, promoted. They're cute, adequate, and that equals huge success.
And I'm angry about it!
Next, we got the award for Best R&B Female, which of course went to Rihanna. That was followed by a song by Imagine Dragons, who kind of remind me of Coldplay. And then it was time for Best Country Album, which went to, once again, Taylor Swift.
Yeah!
Now, she always wins this award, but she used to be this gawky teenager who would get up there and kind of go, "Oh, shucks, oh, God, thank you to the fans. Oh, I can't believe this has happened to me. I'm so shocked." But Taylor has grown up. She's 23 now and looks like a freaking hot model. And she walks up to the podium in a mini dress that comes to the top of her thighs and just says, "Yeah, whatever, I expected this."
Yep.
Next was the Rap Hip Hop Award, and it went to two white guys who think they're black, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis.
A couple of tools.
And instead of thanking all the complete idiots who bought their CDs and voted for them, they took the opportunity to make a speech about racism, Trayvon Martin, and racial profiling. To which I extended a great big middle finger to my TV screen. Because if morons like this are so worried about stopping racism, how about they start with themselves?
Oh yeah!
But moving on, next we got a performance from Kesha and Pitbull that was so lame I don't even know what to say about it. And then Joan Jett and Dave Grohl came out to present the Alternative Rock Award. And this used to go to bands like Foo Fighters or Green Day. But in 2013, the nominees are The Lumineers, Mumford & Sons, and your winner is Imagine Dragon.
Lame.
Wow, I thought the 90s had some bad alternative music, but we have sunk to a new low. But just when you think this show couldn't get any worse, we haven't even gotten started.
This is worse than all of them put together.
Next, we got the Best Latin Award. Yeah, we were all waiting for that, and it was won by Mark Anthony. Then we got another one of those marathon performances by Justin Timberlake that seemed like it was never gonna end. And then for no good reason that I can think of other than that they have famous dads, Kelly Osbourne and Nicole Richie walked on stage. And if you haven't seen them lately, Kelly looks like a teenager dressed as an 80-year-old lady. And Nicole Richie looks like she weighs about 80 pounds.
That's attractive.
They presented the award for Best Pop Rock Album, which was between Taylor Swift, Justin Timberlake, but was won by One Direction.
This can't be real.
Right now, I'd like to be a real smartass and say something hateful, but One Direction winning anything pretty much says it all, doesn't it?
Kill me!
After that, we got a performance from one of those new edgy country bands called Florida Georgia Line. And I wasn't really that familiar with them, but they were mixing rap with country, with rock. And I look in the background, and there's one of their guitar players, and he's got a mohawk. And he's all tatted up, looking like he's a punk rocker. And I'm like, no, dude, you're still in a country band. You're not fooling anybody.
Yep. Okay.
But whatever. Next, it was time for the breakthrough artist. In other words, this is the good stuff that we've got to look forward to in the future. And your winner is a hot little chick from Nickelodeon Channel named Ariana Grande.
What?
Well, hopefully her singing is better than her acting. Because honestly, my kids watch her show and she sucks.
Simply dreadful.
Now, at this point in the show, it was time to give out the prestigious Icon Award. This is when an artist gets so huge and popular that everyone feels the need to give them a trophy. Apparently, selling millions of albums and making tons of money isn't quite enough. And so Bill Maher comes out and presents the Icon Award to the, quote, voice of our times, Rihanna.
Huh?
Yeah, just take a few seconds and think about that. Rihanna. An icon.
It makes my head hurt.
But hey, the figures don't lie. She's sold over 50 million albums. She's sold 180 million digital download tracks. She's got 33 million followers on Twitter. And she has the most views of any artist in history on YouTube. And yet, Chris Brown felt the need to punch her right in the face.
Well, yeah.
Well, I find it hard to believe we're going to still be talking about Rihanna 20 years from now, but whatever. I also find it hard to believe that these days the winner of Best Soul R&B Male would go to a white guy named Justin Timberlake.
Do you understand how insane this is?
Also, in an ironic twist, Justin Timberlake beat out Rihanna for Best Soul R&B Album.
Think about that.
After that, you got more rap and a dance award and Lady Gaga trying to act like Madonna.
She's a moron.
And how lame of a year is it when the best pop rock group is One Direction?
This is enough to make you puke.
By this point, we're into hour three, and I gotta be honest, I was having to fast forward through some of this crap. But I did manage to make it all the way through a performance by TLC.
Never heard of them.
Yeah, I think they were around in the 90s and one of them died and for some reason they have gotten back together with a new girl. And they did their old hit song Waterfall and God did it suck. This new chick that they've got rapping for them wasn't even in time with the band. So I don't get why anyone wants to see them again, but they were awful.
A train wreck.
Almost as bad was a song by Miley Cyrus, but it wasn't nearly as controversial as the last time I saw her. There was no twerking or grinding on Robin Thicke, but she was pretty much half naked, and at this point, that's pretty much the best she's got to offer.
She's not a bright person.
And that left us with one final award, which was the Artist of the Year. And the nominees were Bruno Mars, Rihanna, Justin Timberlake, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, and Taylor Swift. And this year's winner was, of course, Taylor Swift.
I am shocked by this.
Oh, yes, she is a true virtuoso. And once again, there was no mention in this telecast of metal, punk rock, or true alternative. And it's probably for the best, because do any of those genres want to be associated with any of this crap? I don't think so.
Definitely not.
But there you go. That's your American Music Award recap. I watched it so you didn't have to.
Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome. I got some feedback about the last episode. Jimmy Kennan on Facebook said, regarding Julianne Hough's blackface, not only was Eddie Murphy in whiteface in the 80s, Dave Chappelle did it not even 10 years ago with his wife swap parody. No outrage there. Yeah, no kidding, Jimmy. And the other day I was channel surfing and I came across this movie called White Chicks.
Ugh.
It starred the Wayans brothers, and not only is it just a complete god-awful movie, they were in whiteface throughout a lot of the movie, and it's still playing on cable. So perhaps someone should alert Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson, and they can get on that right away.
This sounds racist.
Now, concerning the review I did of the new Striper CD, Jimmy G said he saw them about a year ago, and they were great in concert. He'd give them an A+. However, Phil Robinson and Ryan Kellison both agreed I was spot on.
Explain yourself.
Well, I don't doubt that they're good live because they're good musicians. There's no doubt about it. I just didn't like the songwriting or the lyrics because I thought it was cheesy. And apparently a lot of you guys agreed with me because I didn't catch a lot of flack from that, and I thought I would.
You are hated.
You'll also remember on the last episode I said that I had a crush on Joan Jett back when I was in college, to which Jeffrey Elliott responded, Linda Ronstadt, yes, but Joan Jett? Dirty Leg Shank. Are you sure you weren't high?
What does that mean?
Well, I don't know, Jeffrey. You'll have to explain to me what a dirty leg shank is. Or did you mean skank? Either way, I thought Joan Jett was cute back in the 80s. But, you know, we all have our differences in opinion. We all have our different tastes. Somebody that would be hot to you might not be hot to me, or vice versa. And that's why I'm going to do a new segment right now called Hot or Not Hot. For instance, my wife thinks Johnny Depp is hot. And all right, I get it. He seems like he might be kind of a D-bag or take himself a little too seriously. But all right, I get that he's attractive. But then Sofia Vergara will come on the TV screen and she'll say, I don't like her. And I'll say, why not? And Lindsay will say, she's not all that. And I'll say, well, maybe, maybe not. But 20 years ago, she could knock your eyeballs out. And I would sit and watch Telemundo and not understand a word she was saying and be perfectly fine with it.
Yeah, you would. Ho-ho!
On the other hand, I do not get the whole fascination with Beyoncé. Pretty face, I guess, but those legs on her look gigantic. So I'm gonna have to say Beyoncé, not hot.
Say what?
Now, I don't read Maxim magazine, but I did see on their list of 100 hottest women of the year, at number one was Miley Cyrus.
Yeah!
And yeah, I realize she's lost her mind, she's doing anything possible for attention right now.
Right.
She smokes pot and cigarettes, and from every interview I've ever seen of her, she appears to be a completely obnoxious individual.
Totally!
I think if I had to spend more than 5 minutes around her at any one time, I would want to kill her. And I definitely don't think she deserves to be at number one on any Hot 100 list.
That's right.
All that said, she's got great legs, and you've got to have a pretty good face to pull off a haircut like that. So, Miley Cyrus, hot.
What are you, insane?
Here's a tough one, though. Kim Kardashian.
Oh, dear God.
Really pretty face, but gigantic butt.
Huge.
She also appears to be very whiny, spoiled, and kind of an idiot.
Dumb.
Not to mention, she's married to Kanye West. And for that reason alone, Kim Kardashian, not hot.
I completely agree.
Other women, in my humble opinion, who are not hot, Lady Gaga, Serena Williams, and Tina Fey. women who used to be hot but are not now, Linda Ronstadt, Kirstie Alley, and Madonna.
How true it is.
Women who are hot, Selena Gomez, Katy Perry, Jennifer Aniston.
Sure.
Hottest woman of all time, my wife.
Good answer.
So I hope that clears it all up for you, Jeffrey. Thanks for your comment.
I think this is thought-provoking.
In other emails, Greg Skipton wrote in to say, "Hey, Monty, I recently read that Kiss has been nominated for induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I can't imagine why a band that has been around for 40-plus years, has sold millions of albums, and has influenced countless musicians has been ignored for so long. My question is, if they are inducted, do you think that it should be limited to the four original members?"
I think that's a fair question.
Well, first of all, Greg, as you know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a joke. It's probably just misnamed, because if you're going to induct Donna Summer before Kiss, you might as well just call it the Music Hall of Fame. It'd be like not voting in Joe Montana into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but instead voting in Babe Ruth, who played baseball.
Okay.
And not that I'm comparing Donna Summer to Babe Ruth, because how the hell did Donna Summer get into any Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
But as far as your question about the original lineup of Kiss, yeah, I mean, I think of Kiss as Ace, Peter, Paul, and Gene. And if they're not all included in the induction ceremony, well, that would be a crime. However, I wouldn't have any problem with Tommy Thayer and Eric Singer being there too. Eric's been in that band a long time now. And speaking of Eric Singer, did you know that he is the cousin of Ben Huggins?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and years ago when Galactic Cowboys was on tour, we were playing out in L.A. and we had the day off after a show. And Eric invited us over to his house, and he made us lunch, and he had this really cool drum studio out in the back of his house. And we went out there and jammed with him and hung out all day, and he was just a really cool guy.
Goody for you!
I also got another email from Greg Skipton, and he had this to say. "Hey, Monty, I've always thought that Life of Agony was an underrated band. But the other day I was surfing the internet and found out that their lead singer, Keith Caputo, now goes by Mina Caputo. My question is, did you ever tour with them and were you ever a fan of their music?"
Here's the answer.
First of all, Keith Caputo, yes.
Brace yourself.
For those of you who don't know, he recently had a sex change operation. And Keith is apparently now a woman.
Hello!
But to answer your question, Greg, yes, we did tour with Life of Agony. It was back around 95, 96 on the Anthrax tour. And they only played a few shows with us, and so I didn't really get to know them real well. They weren't that friendly, but Keith was still a guy.
Well, good.
As far as their music, I've never really been that into them, but the people in Europe really liked them. And finally, Mr. Greg Skipton wrote once again to say that he enjoyed episode 128, where I talked about how Eddie Vedder and Scotty Stapp from Creed had influenced a whole new generation of crap. And to honor or dishonor all the bands that now litter our airwaves, here is Greg's list of top 10 douche rock bands.
All right!
And it starts out at number 10 with Seether.
Woo! I'm in heaven!
That's followed at number 9 with Hinder. Number 8 is Saving Abel. And number 7 is Five Finger Death Punch.
Kick ass.
Oh yes, a Jimmy Jeff favorite for sure.
I heard that.
Number 6 is Three Doors Down. Number 5 is 3 Days Grace.
Awesome!
Yeah, I've kind of grown to like 3 Days Grace over the years, but I'll admit it, they do kind of have a D-bag following.
Huh?
I saw them at a festival here in Kansas City a couple years ago. They were playing with Seether, and the rednecks were just going crazy for them. But I actually kind of liked them too, so does that make me kind of douchey?
Well, yes, it does.
All right, but getting back to Greg's list, I think you'll agree these final four are the cream of the crop, starting with Shinedown. At number 3, Theory of a Dead Man. Number 2 is Papa Roach. And at number 1, and king of the douche rock bands, Nickelback.
Yeah!
Well, yeah, you knew it had to be Nickelback. Never has a band been more hated and yet filled more arenas with douchebags all over the world. And they will always be number 1 to me because they sang the douchiest line in music history.
What was it exactly?
I'll lock your pants around your feet.
Now that's classy.
Oh, it does not get worse than that, my friends. Thank you, Chad Kruger. And thank you, Greg Skipton, for that awesome list. You are in the playoffs and now eligible for an amazing prize package. You know, since it's Christmas time, why don't we get the kids, gather in the living room around the fireplace for a little Uncle Monty's Listening Corner. Oh yeah, it's time to check out what's on my iPod. Yay! The year is almost over, and instead of putting out new music, a lot of bands are just putting out live CDs. I guess they figure they'll make good stocking stuffers, but instead they're just kind of putting out crappy live CDs. Case in point, the new live album from Lita Ford called The Bitch Is Back. Had a few beers, getting high, sitting, watching, talking about a book. It ain't no big thing. Nothing to eat and no TV. Looking in the mirror, don't get it from me. It ain't no big thing. You know, for a long time, I thought she was saying, I like dancing with Jews. But no, as it turns out, it's a New York thing. I like dancing with you. Last year, Lita Ford put out an album called Living Like a Runaway, and it was my pick for worst album of the year. And I'm happy to say that she may be in the running this year once again. This one may not be quite as bad, but her knack for horrible lyrics may be unmatched by anyone. Yeah. I liked Lita Ford when she was in The Runaways, but wow, these days, what an overrated guitar player, singer, songwriter she is.
You're hateful.
All right, here's a question for you. What do you get when you cross Slayer, King Crimson, and Black Sabbath?
I have no idea.
Well, I'm pretty sure you get Mastodon, and they've got a new live CD. It's called Live at Brixton. I like Mastodon in small doses. They do some really cool progressive stuff that I enjoy quite a bit, but after a while it gets kind of chaotic for me and I just kind of lose interest. But some of this album is really great, but I'm not gonna lie, some of it's awful. They try to do some vocal harmony stuff that's pretty terrible, but it's definitely raw and most of it sounds pretty live. The next selection is from the classic rock band Boston, or should I say Tom Scholz and a bunch of people who are now playing in his band. Well, believe it or not, Boston has a new CD and it's called Life, Love, and Hope. Apparently, the late Brad Delp has some vocal tracks on this CD, so not even death could stop that guy. But somebody may want to stop Tom Scholz from ever making another CD, because this thing is not good.
Ouch!
This thing sounds like it was recorded in his basement, and it probably was. The drums sound like a drum machine, and the songs are lame. I will not be listening to the new Boston album very much because I had a hard time getting through it even once. I loved the old Boston stuff, and Tom Scholz used to be a genius, but it might be time to hang it up.
It's the same old crap. More than a feeling. Didn't know you would come tonight.
So what did we learn today on this episode?
Nothing!
Well, we learned that I hate the holidays. There's a lot of bad Christmas music out there. The new Boston CD is lame. Jennifer Aniston is hot. And Lady Gaga is not.
Wow! Learn something new every day.
Thanks to everyone for their emails, comments, questions, top tens, donations, and for buying my CDs, t-shirts, and paintings at my website, MontyColvin.net.
The worst website in the history of websites.
I'm going to take you out with a Christmas song by somebody named Bob Rivers. It's a parody of Iron Man by Black Sabbath, and so see what you think. I hope you all have a great Christmas and New Year's, and I will be back with my year-end special very soon. But that's going to do it for me for now. So until next time, this is Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like unless it's me. And
rock on.
I am Santa Claus.
Flying through the snow, can you hear him? Ho, ho, ho. He's so full of cheer, only has to work one day a year. Children in their beds, visions of sugar plums fill their heads. So many kids out there, Santa must be a billionaire.
John, say Merry Christmas, everybody.
Mrs. Ringo, say Merry Christmas, everybody.
Everybody, Merry Christmas, everybody. Thanks for all the cards and that, and very nice.
Thank you very much, everybody. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, then.